Gordon to the left, Little and Best to the right. In the backfield, Bobby Rainey. Here's Hoyer out of the shotgun. Plenty of time, going long. Gordon's wide open. Caught it, 10, 5, touchdown. Welcome back, Josh Gordon.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hoyer's got it. Right corner of the end zone. Jordan Cameron's got it. Touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
We'll count it down with all of you with 30 seconds to go in the ball game, and the Browns are going to win their second in a row. They're at 500.
Oh, my God. It is a victory Monday once again here.
We're going streaking.
We're not. Well, you're going streaking. But we are enjoying this very much. A Browns huge win against the Cincinnati Bengals, and we've got 2 hours to talk about it. A big week for Cleveland sports in general,
yes,
as we know, with the Tribe, and congrats to them as well. But very, very thrilled and surprised, frankly. I'm going to say it. I know we drew our path to victory. I know we were coming up with scenarios, and by Friday of this game, I said it during our when I was on the remote at the PNC Bank in Medina, that I was feeling more inclined to be optimistic about this game. And by game time, I was there. Now, I was still not saying we're going to come out of this with a win, because I just feel if I do that, I'm setting myself up. And I know Browns fans do that. But
they can sympathize.
Right? So, but look, they won it. So much to talk about it, and the ways that they did it, the defense playing extremely well. Brian Hoyer winning in his second start. I wrote this for ClevelandBrowns.com. I said, okay, we've talked about a quarterback scenario, and it's always been this mythic thing, right? The draft of maybe 2014 will bring about the quarterback of the future of the Browns, the franchise quarterback. And I just got thinking, you know what? If that guy started his first two games and did what Hoyer did in these first two games, win and play well, and get better in his second game and take out the Bengals, take out one of the best teams in the league in that second game, what would we be saying about that guy?
We'd be dancing in the streets. We'd be going Super Bowl for the Brownies. But it's great. Oh. It is fantastic. And you know what he did? It was so important. We talked about it. You could get away with turning the ball over and winning, obviously, because it happened against Minnesota. But you had to take care of the ball against the Cincinnati Bengals. They did that. They won the turnover battle 2-0. They got out to an early lead, which we said was important, 7-0, and then 10-3. They maintained that even with a couple missed field goals. I thought Cundiff coming back and nailing that 51-yarder in the third quarter was massive, and it was just a great game. And we're going to get into this in a lot of detail because there's a lot to talk about. But Brian Hoyer's command, his confidence, his moxie, phenomenal, his ability to get the ball out quickly. And the other thing that I love about it is he says, I know who my top two dogs are, and I'm going to get them the ball, and you try to stop it. Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron, 21 targets between the two of them, of the 38 passes, 14 catches, 162 yards, and a touchdown. They are the bulk of the offense, and Gordon coming back makes a huge difference. It opens things up for Cameron, and I just love what this team is doing offensively. Brian Hoyer, you know, and it's going to open up the running game. The running game was a little bit better this week. They had 3 yards of carry, which that's what Browns running backs expect to do.
Right.
So it was just good, and I really want to talk about this defense because this defense is playing unbelievable.
Lights out. And it starts. We know where it starts. It starts with the front seven, in which the great investment was made, and it's paying off. It's that simple. You went out and got Desmond Bryant, and he's playing at an incredible level. You went out and got Barkevious Mingo with the sixth overall pick of the draft. Three sacks, three games, setting records, making history, and everybody else chiming in and doing well. The newcomers like Paul Kruger and the mainstays that have been here before, like Phil Taylor and company, Ataba Rubin, DeQuell Jackson tipping that pass that Buster Screen intercepted in the fourth quarter. My God, it was an impressive game. And Joe Haden, basically, not by himself because he had some help doing this, but Joe Haden versus A.J. Green, which was the matchup we were looking for, and A.J. Green, 7.3 yards per catch on 7 receptions, a very quiet day, and they never saw the end zone. He didn't see the end zone. Jermaine Gresham didn't see the end zone. Tyler Eifert didn't see the end zone. Giovanni Bernard didn't see the end zone.
Nobody.
Andy Dalton didn't sniff the end zone as a quarterback. It was 2 Mike Nugent field goals. Good night. See you later.
Good night. See you later. And we talked about the fact that if you can isolate and contain A.J. Green, which Joe Haden certainly did, you put the onus on them to beat you with secondary receivers. And by the way, Buster Skrine played his best game of the year. He was targeted.
Best game of his career.
Best game of his career. I think that's fair to say. He was targeted seven times in this game by the Cincinnati Bengals, allowed one catch for 6 yards. He played phenomenally well. And if you go back to the last two plays against Minnesota now, one catch for 6 yards in the last nine passes attempted at Buster Skrine. And Joe Haden right now, I'm going to say it, he's playing the best cornerback of anybody in the National Football League. And I know Richard Easily. Sherman is playing okay, but people have gotten to Richard Sherman. Andre Johnson had over 100 yards last week. You know, in the first week, Steve Smith scored on them. Altron Werner's playing great in Tennessee as well, but right now, for my money, there's nobody in the league playing better than Joe Haden. Think about who he's faced so far. Mike Wallace, Torrey Smith, Jerome Simpson, and people would laugh. Jerome Simpson. Jerome Simpson, by the way, already has two games of more than 120 yards receiving on the season out of four. A.J. Green, combined, the four of those guys are averaging 45 yards per game against the Cleveland Browns, against Joe Haden. Not a single touchdown between the four of them. Joe Haden is playing lights out. The defensive front is playing lights out. There is just so much to talk about. That's why this is – I was giddy to come in here today because – there's just so much talk about, so much praise to heap on this team. It's a quick turnaround, though. The focus, you know, goes right to the Buffalo Bills, and we'll get there. But today we're going to enjoy what happened against Cincinnati, and this kind of sums it up for me. I got home, got to watch the game on the plane on the way home, got home and was talking to Alyssa, and she said, I can't remember the last time I've seen the Browns in victory formation at home. And just to get to watch them go out there and take a knee, and as she was telling me stories, she got goosebumps again. It's great.
It's a beautiful thing. And to be standing there on the field watching that, as I was at the end of the game, I had that same thought, is that watching that victory play, putting it away, knowing it's over, knowing the doubt is out. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to bite your lip. You don't have to be on edge. The ulcer doesn't act up. It's a beautiful thing what was going on out there on that field, and to drink it in from the crowd perspective, to see people who have been, again, with this team, and yeah, there's been frustration, and yeah, I saw more empty seats than I wanted to see there. I was a little concerned about that. I said, on a beautiful, you know, we'd call it a picture perfect day, but it was a nice enough day that you had to be out there. And I do think some people they started out with 0-2 on their mind. They started out with Trent Richardson on their mind, and what the Browns have done since is incredible, and it's a national discussion as well. Heard a lot about it on Mike and Mike this morning. Of course, Mike Golick, a Cleveland guy, but it wasn't just for that reason. They're a story. They're a national story that people are paying attention to, and they should. And I think to play at the level that they played yesterday, again, especially on defense, that's what gets you attention. That's what gets you respect. And I wrote this too for ClevelandBrowns.com. They put the league on notice with that defense. And that victory formation you talk about, again, if the so-called franchise guy that this team could get someday in 2014 or whenever, if he was the one doing that at the end of that game, again, what would we be saying? You'd be saying they're geniuses in the personnel department to draft that quarterback. They've done absolutely an amazing job. Well, Brian Hoyer used an analogy for me after this game. He said getting the call to quarterback this offense is like getting the keys to a Ferrari. And he goes, and when you have those keys, what do you want to do? You surely want to, you know, drive the car fast, of course, within state speed limits, I'm sure.
apparently.
And not the way Nathan Zagura drives, but say, or closer to the way I drive, maybe, you know, a little cheat over. But anyway, you want to drive it fast, whereas what he said is, but you don't want to crash it, all right? And he said that's what this offense is like. The tools that are in this offense, you mentioned Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron, but he's also talking about North Turner and the play calling and
North
the scheme
knows
that
what
Rod,
do.
You know, Rob Chudzinski, they put together. And then I got thinking about the whole Ferrari analogy because it applies to quarterbacks. Who are the Ferraris? Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, RG3, those guys who are picked at or near the top of the draft. You call them Ferraris. What is Brian Hoyer? He's an economy model. Brian Hoyer is affordable and available. Right?
And he's here, and he's ours.
And you got him, and you start him out as a third stringer. You throw him in to see what he can do as a starter, and he comes through with what he's come through these past couple of days. And I'll say this, it wasn't perfect. There were some issues with the O-line. Guard play has been a problem right along. They're trying to keep their head above water. And I think the key to it all, though, is the speed with which this guy is doing his thing. He's not holding it. Maybe with a better line – you might even see more big plays because, you know, he's able to hang in there a little longer. So they're pushing him on that. He's getting the ball out. He's making the quick decisions. And here's the other thing. There were 6 points that should have been made that weren't from via field goals, and probably two other opportunities that they could have gotten in field goal range. I'm looking at maybe another 12 points that could have been in this game.
There's absolutely no question about it. And to see what Brian Hoyer is doing, his ability, as you mentioned, to get the ball out quickly, to focus on his playmakers, I love that. I think that is one of the most important things that he is doing, is focusing on his playmakers, getting them the ball. And I love it. I mean, I love what Brian Hoyer has been able to do right now, 2.43 seconds to get the ball out. So he's been consistent each of the first two games and getting it out quickly.
Right.
You got to like it, and you got to like this offense. And, you know, this Cincinnati Bengals team just did a great job, and I know they were banged up, and that helped us get our heads around the path to victory. Got a little bit wider when we found out about no Leon Hall, no Dre Kirkpatrick, no Reggie Nelson. But they went out there, and they made the plays that they needed to on offense. And quite frankly, with the way this defense is playing, you don't even need to make that many plays. That's what's so great about this. Number 3 overall defense in the National Football League right now with the Monday night game still to go.
Yep.
They haven't allowed a single 100-yard rusher or 300-yard passer this year. And in today's NFL, that's quite an accomplishment.
It's astonishing. All right, we've got so much coming up for you. We are going to have our roundtable. We're going to get to that very shortly. The roundtable, which is brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville, and see what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. That'll be Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press will be aboard. You're also going to hear from the head coach of the Browns, Rob Chudzinski, at about 2 o'clock, and then we're going to have Gerard Cherry join the show. We're going to hear from you. You call us up. Of course, it is a Victory Monday, so dial us up at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, or tweet us at Browns_daily, at my partner, NathanZegura, or at VicCarucci. I want to hear from you. Real quick, this is from Paul, who is a regular tweeter. And I know he was going to ask this question. He said, did I get on the in the back of the truck with the bed down on Groza Boulevard, driving down screaming that the Browns could possibly make the playoffs, as I promised I would if they beat the Bengals? Here's what I did, Paul. I thought about standing up in the back of Nathan's F-150.
It's raining today. I'll let you have a sunny day.
A, it's raining. B, if I did that, I'm probably not here doing the show. I think there'd be some very bad things that would have happened physically to me. I would have slipped on the wet part. I wouldn't have had the balance. Nathan I don't know that he's a safe enough driver for something like this, and I would have gotten hurt. So here's what I did. I drove down Lou Groza Boulevard. I put the window down, and I did say, it's possible the Browns. You know, it's possible that the Browns could make the playoffs. I said it in a very quiet way, though, with perspective.
And I didn't shout
it that loudly. I mean,
I don't know. I like it. But when we looked at the schedule, and even though you said I was the most optimistic, I did have them 2-2 after 4 games.
You did.
And the path to 2-2 is different than what I had laid out.
Miami and Minnesota, and you hit, so did you.
I still think week 17
now this
at
is
Pittsburgh is going to be a very interesting game.
It's a different story.
Meaningful game. Games in December.
Oh my God! Well, meaningful.
Let's go.
How about a meaningful game Thursday night against the Bills? All right.
So much
to talk about. So much to get to. So we will get there. Hang with us because we've got a jam-packed show for you. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford. This is a Victory Monday. Yeah, a Victory Monday. Love it. 17-6 Browns over the Cincinnati Bengals. Stick around for more ESPN 850 WKNR.
Sophia is one of those super creative and easy to talk to people. She came to Liberty Ford looking for a car that was both professional and fun. Well, Sophia, it sounds like you want a cool car for work and the weekend. Good news. We get it, and we got you covered. Liberty makes it happen.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick.